In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinida Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Yeah, Nisan Bulavinaka to all of our Fijian listeners, and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy Friday. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is my Cook Island Koi Tinida Arona, and we have a massive show for you planned here on Nijan Footy. Up to T.
Yes, Sammy, hello, geta to you, to all our listeners, and Jerome Luai once again.
And Jerome Luai,
the
hello,
soap
geta
opera
to
of
Jerome Luai.
The rugby league, man, it just seems like it never stops. From when Payne Huss signed to the
like
South Sydney Rabbitohs, and since then we've just had news after news after news, and we'll dive deep into what that looks like for Jerome Luai and the PNG Chiefs. There's also State of Origin up the Blues. The women's have kicked off
1-0.
Penetani Gray got it to Sergis. Beats 1-2-3. Oh, Jess Sergis! Brilliant! She gets out the spatula, shoves icing all over it, and whacks it on the Blues cake. Try to Sergis. What a finish.
Jessie Southwell it is. Moves in now. She strikes it. Misses it to the near side. No goal. But it doesn't matter. The Blues have won at 11-6 over Queensland here at Hunter Stadium to lead 1-0 in the best of three State of Origin series. The game one curse strikes again for Queensland, who now face a must-win game.
1-0 for the Blues, which we'll touch on with our expert, Sala Tongatuki, and then Super Rugby, which there's news in Super Rugby, Sammy.
I think so. And actually, do you know where there's news?
Where is their news?
In the Western Force and Waratahs game, because two leagueies are headlining that game. Zach Lomax and Joseph Suaalii. So that's how we snuck in there with a bit of rugby union news. But we do have Nemani Nondola Kurundrani as well talking about the Fijian draw. So massive show planned. Let's rip in.
Hello, everyone. This is Keith Peters here, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Yeah, KP.
Hey, one of the PNG legends.
Absolutely, the OG.
Old Keithy Peters. But we'll get to Jerome Luai and the PNG Chiefs shortly. But last night, man, what a game from the girls. State of Origin, game one, the women's, and this was played in Newcastle, Sydney. Over 20,000 fans went to Newcastle to watch this game. And I just love the being able to watch the game where it wasn't impacted through the infringements of the six agains and just the game flowed.
Was it me, or were the collisions like solid this year compared to probably the other years?
Yeah, there were some very
big hits out there.
Big impacts, some big one-on-one tackles, some big hits. And I don't want to get too deep into it.
Oh, because we've got Sala.
Yes, we will get into it with Sala Tongatuki. But the women's Blues team won 11 points to 6. And I just thought, yeah, it was just a very entertaining game. Now, let's move on to Jerome Luai. PNG Chiefs, it was announced, I know we mentioned it on Monday, the rumours and Jerome Luai going over to PNG Chiefs, looking at the facilities, and then not too long after, a couple of days after, he announced that he would be signing as player number one for the PNG Chiefs.
It's probably a moral vision, something that I resonated with, being Polynesian. You know, there's a lot of similarities, you know, to Samoa and things like that, so yeah, what that team's eventually going to do for those people is just grow a nation. So that's something that resonated with me. Being over there, you sort of realise that it's bigger than a game over there. And when the time comes, we'll be able to change a lot of lives for the better. It was a great experience. My family and my son got the chance to come with. And yeah, being there after all of that, that's probably what got us sealed. Happened pretty quickly. You know, I was a whirlwind, to be honest with you. The way my contract works and how it was structured, you know, We broke no rules throughout the process, and I think that's what people don't really understand as well. But yeah, it was a smooth process. Like I said, I thanked the coach and my teammates already. They were so transparent through it all. Really grateful that it's been a smooth process.
Now, you look at the story or the narrative that since PNG Chiefs was announced, we were talking about, man, there's no one's going to go there. What did that look like? Is it safe enough?
That was their narrative. We knew someone was going to go there. Or you didn't think no one was going to go there?
I had my doubts.
Oh, you had your doubts?
I won't lie, yeah, I had my doubts. But what are your thoughts on Jerome Luai signing?
Absolutely loved it. I think he's the right man to be able to create the hype. You just saw on their Instagram reel when they announced it. Within 24 hours, there was nearly 1 million views on it. And I thought they did a pretty good job with the edit as well. But he's the right man to attract players. Like, I think you said it on Monday. Was it Brian To'o, Moses Leota, Nathan Cleary, but he's obviously a long shot, coming off in
Spencer Lenu
coming off in 2027. And that bond that those players have together, I just got this feeling that they will end up together over in PNG.
Yeah, I'm actually really happy for Jerome and his family. You could only imagine when he went over there with his family in PNG, he would have had to have had moments there, looking at the community, feeling that love, feeling the impact that him being signed to the PNG Chiefs, what impact he would have on that community and the PNG people. I reckon him going there would have sealed the deal.
Absolutely. Look, there's no question about it that the tax-free money does the heavy lifting to entice you to sign over in PNG. But you're right. Like, you can have all the money in the world, but if you're not feeling connected to where you're going, you're going to hate the place and you won't want to go there. So all the money in the world won't matter. But I believe when he went there, he just would have felt, as you said, felt that love and gone, wow, I can make a difference here. Or we can make a difference here. We can have a genuine impact and change lives over here. So
yeah,
I think that's important.
Yeah, it's more of the legacy that he will leave.
Yep.
But he's already won 4 competitions. He's got 4 rings. He's coming with 4 premierships. You know, what more can these boys achieve, speaking of Jerome and then
the
players that he played with during the premiership run with the Penrith Panthers, what more can they achieve in the game other than leaving a legacy, having an impact, and what bigger impact could they have than an impact in PNG as the people of PNG, but the country?
Yeah, because when you play, you've got to have some type of hunger still to, you know, like external hunger where it's like, oh, this is really driving me. Like, yes, you have the discipline to show up, but like he could have stayed at Penrith and just, you know, stayed in a comfort zone. He could have stayed at the West Tigers and probably stayed in a comfort zone there, but he's decided that this is what's going to fuel him inside. And with that, obviously the money that he's on, you could be pretty comfortable, couldn't you? Like, and just go, man, I don't really need to show up as hard. I'm still getting paid. It's guaranteed 100 grand every month for the next 3 years tax-free. But what I believe is going to be the biggest difference for him is the fact that it's not like having 100 grand and living in the eastern suburbs of Sydney. Like, living in PNG,
100 grand is nothing.
Yeah, well, a month. I'm talking about 100 grand a month living in Sydney, in eastern suburbs, you know, where you can get caught up in maybe the lifestyle,
the nice beaches, the culture,
the cafes,
the coffees, yeah, the nice clothes. But, you know, we've both been to PNG and it's a different environment over
there. It's a place that's going to bring a lot of humility in your life.
Yeah.
And I feel like the type of person Jerome is, there's going to be a lot of feel-good stories that come out of him being over there, because I believe he's going to be so generous over there with his time, with what he does on his day off. Like, he'll want to get out to the communities and help out as much as possible. So it's just not a or take type of relationship. I just think it's going to be massive for him and whoever goes over there. He goes, hey boys, this is what we're about. This is the fabric of the country. We're here to give back as well.
And I don't think we've spoken much about it, but their head coach, Willie Peters, and break it down a little bit, he's from Australia, he's played in the NRL, he's done his coaching apprenticeship as an assistant coach in the NRL, but then gone over to Hull KR. Now, Hull KR is not the nicest of places in England.
So it's not the eastern suburbs of Sydney?
Not the eastern suburbs. There's also a rival club in Hull FC, and they're known as more the richer club, and Hull KR being not so wealthy in that area. But what Willie Peters has done, he's brought in, now there's players like Peter Hiku, Kalipi Tanganoa, Tyrone May, one of the May brothers. So a number of Australian and New Zealand players, plus the English players, he's brought them on that side of the world, brought them together, and they've done something that the club has never, ever done before. They've won all of the major tournaments in the Leaders in League Championship, the Challenge Cup Championship, the Premiership, the Super League Premiership, and then the World Club Challenge. So all four, he knows how to win. He knows how to bring players together. They have to be on the road as well quite often, living in Hull, having to go to different parts of England, flying to France. So he knows what the travel is about. Now you add him in PNG, you add Jerome Luai, you add other players like Alex Johnson, who's reportedly making his way over there, and they start to build a squad. Man, it's going to be a dangerous team.
You know what I love about that team? You're not just building a squad, you're building a storyline around a whole country. Like, I got no doubt Willie Peters is putting together this blueprint on theming and making sure that their calling system, you know, from when they walk into the building and it's got all the photos and stuff up on the wall, like it's going to feel like different for these players, where they're going, okay, we're in for something big here. So that's what I'm loving. I can't wait for that to happen, the environment that he's going to create.
And think back to the end of last year when the Pac champs were on. We're talking about a young kid, a young Kumul representative, Garo Voro. Oh,
yes.
And the old Jerome Luai lookalike, same long hair, same headgear, plays a similar style. So he's already making an impact in PNG. Now, imagine someone like Garo going, man, that guy is now playing, representing a team, an NRL team that represents my country.
I'm going to be throwing a pass to him.
I would love to be a part of that.
Absolutely. I feel like this is going to be special, and there's a lot of hype now, but we're still 18 months away. So there's still a long time for this to get put together. And T, if Alex Johnson is the second signing after Jerome, who's the next one, do you think? Who? Just give me a name.
Give you a name? Well, I reckon everyone who's off contract would be exploring that option in PNG. And come November 1st, when players are off contract after 2027 and they're allowed to speak to other clubs, it wouldn't surprise me if we see towards the back end of the year a lot more players signing. And it wouldn't surprise me if some of those players are Jerome Luai's friends. So
give me one of those friends. You've dodged my question.
On me?
Yeah, give me one of his friends.
They can't negotiate.
Hey?
Well, we mentioned that.
No, as in a hypothetical, who would you like?
Who would you like to see? Well, I mentioned on Monday on Nija Daily, I spoke about the legacy and brotherhood that the Penrith Panthers players have had. You know, they've played at school, they've gone to school together. Yeah. They've won
childhood friends.
They've won junior competitions like the Harold Matthews SG Ball rep competitions together. They've won a number of premierships. But not only that, their families have also been on the same journey. And they're all family
Very
men.
True.
What I also love about this group of players that come through that Penrith legacy and are still going now is, when's the last time we've ever heard a bad story in the papers about one of these players?
Haven't heard one at all.
So when it comes to integrity, when it comes to your values,
yep,
these are the players that you want, because there will be dark times when they go to PNG.
Yes.
Yeah, when they're isolated, when they're away from the Australian lifestyle, it will get tough. But there have been men who have stuck solid to their values, to their faith, to their families. And we've never seen, we haven't seen in the past, you know, any bad behavior or any integrity issues because of the men that they are. So I think that plays an important role. And their families have been a part of that journey. So when you speak about what players would I like to see, or even the PNG Chiefs recruitment would be looking at, is what people would come into this team that would be able to create that family environment, and they've already had it in the past. So guys like Bizza, guys like Spencer, Sonia Turuva, where they're already family.
Yep.
They currently play for different clubs, but they're already family off the field.
Oh, keen for those three names to come out November 1. Straight. As soon as November 1 hits, three names come out, just sign. Good signs ahead for PNG, looking forward to it. But obviously, we've got other news in rugby league as well.
Well, I'm thinking, sticking to this topic, what does this mean for the poor Perth Bears?
Oh, the Bears. Oregon's going to be an uphill battle, not going to lie, because when you talk about family, let's just look at it from a point of view from a monetary value. So if everyone's getting tax-free dollars, that means there's actually more money in the player's pocket to get their families over or fly back and forth when they need to, because that is such an important piece, because not everyone's going to be on big money over in PNG. Like, even if you're on $80,000 tax-free, like, that's 40% more than what you'd be getting. I think it's 40 or 45% more than what you'd be getting in Australia. So that's huge, where you can put that towards extra flights or potentially getting someone to live with you over in PNG. Whereas for Perth, they don't have that. And it is very hard if you've set up all your support systems here in, say, the East Coast, and then you've got to fly over to Perth. And let's give Sifa Talakai as an example, who's going over there. He's got four kids, big family. The family are hands-on with all of his kids. But if he goes over to Perth, they don't have that support network over there. He flies back to Sydney to play all of his games. Say if they've got three in a row, she's there by herself with the four kids. They're like going, well, you've got to see all the family. Man, I don't get to see the family. So it does cause tension on the home front.
What's it like living in Perth?
Lifestyle is great. Honestly, it is one of the best places to live. Like, it's kicked back. It's like a bigger Newcastle.
Okay.
You know, it has those elements, but everyone says, man, I just don't. It's so far away from the East Coast where all my family is, and it's very expensive to fly, like, during those important times around Christmas, around New Year's. It cost me and my wife one year, it was about $5,000 return just to come back for 5 days during Christmas. So you think of that with Sifa's family, like, that's a lot of money. And then if you're not getting that tax-free bracket, it's a big chunk.
Yep. I also know during your playing careers, I was always told, like, yep, put yourself in the best position, make sure you're ready, make sure you're good to go physically. But a lot of it's time and luck.
Yeah, absolutely
now,
it is.
Players that are off contract this year, that they don't have the option to wait to potentially hopefully get a deal at PNG 2028. So their best option is probably go to Perth if there's no other options at any other clubs.
Yes, because they're coming in next year.
Because they need a contract for next year. Yep. So the timing of some of those players who still have a contract next year and can start negotiating. So for everyone listening, the rules are you're allowed to negotiate with another club on your last deal after November 1st. Before November 1st, it gives the opportunity for your current club to be able to negotiate and hopefully put a deal down so you can stay.
Yep.
So guys like Brian To'o, who are off contract next year, after next year, Penrith Panthers will be doing everything possible to get his signature November 1st so that he doesn't get the option to explore after November 1st. Now, what players may do now is wait till after November 1st, because PNG Chiefs, depending on, you know, and having to look, exploring that option.
Yeah, so I think, for Perth to try and sign top players for next year, you're right, they're probably going to struggle because there'll be players holding out going, no, I'm actually just going to, I'm going to wait this one out.
Well, we would have seen November 1st last year, we would have seen a lot of players go to Perth Bears if that was, you know, enticing for those players.
Yeah.
So we've just seen them filter in. But to think that the only reason why Jerome Luai got to sign now was because he had that clause in his April 30 to negotiate with other clubs earlier. So well played to
him and his manager
to Jerome.
Team. Great job.
That's why we won't see many other players unless they get approval from their clubs, like Alex Johnston may have. from South Sydney Rabbitohs to then, you know, create that legacy piece and sign with PNG.
Do you know who else is off contract? Isaiah Katoa.
After next year.
After 2027.
Yeah.
Do you think, would they be a good Haas pairing, Jerome and Isaiah?
Izzy and Isaiah, I think, yeah. I think that'd be a very good, like, Isaiah control and Jerome, whenever he wants the ball, you just give him the ball, bro.
I don't think he's leaving the Dolphins, though. But anyway, we can only imagine, only dream of. But we do have other news.
Yeah, just to wrap us up with the rugby league, you know, sad news involving Craig Bellamy and the Melbourne Storm. It's come out that he's been diagnosed with a neurodegenerative disorder. Test and diagnosis only took place in recent weeks. What are your thoughts, Sammy?
Oh, man, it just puts rugby league into perspective, doesn't it? You know, when your health is at risk. But I've got no doubt it's going to galvanise the team. He's going to have plenty of support with his players and the staff around him. Hopefully it's nothing too serious and he's able to just, you know, still do what he's able to do, coach that football side and be a loving father, husband, grandfather. But yeah, just much love to him and his family.
100%. This won't impact his immediate coaching future, but I do think that this might be something that the Storm, and it's sad, but...
Yeah, it brings people together.
Brings them all together.
Absolutely.
And yeah, we'll see a better Storm than the recent weeks, because, man, we don't want to see them go 7 in a row. Jeez. But look, a huge round of NRL, round 9 coming up. We've got the Dogs and the Cowboys soon to kick off, and then the Dolphins taking on those mighty Storm, hopefully getting their first win in 7 games. But then, yeah, a number of games over the weekend. I'm actually going to the Warriors versus Eels game tomorrow night. That's held in Parramatta. I think that will be very interesting. Which game are you looking forward to watching, Sammy?
I would actually say I'm with you on the Eels and Warriors one. I'm just a big fan of...
Lekahalasima.
Like those guys, man. I just think they're just on a new level, a new buzz. They're just that new way of back row coming through that are full of energy, humility, but... I wouldn't want to cross them on the field.
Got
so
that bit of swag, yeah, Homole as well.
Yes, yes.
Look, I reckon, speaking of Homole Olakau'atu, Manly Seagulls versus the Panthers. Can Manly make it 5 in a row? I think this is the real test for Kieran Foran.
It's a master and the apprentice coming up against each other. Ivan Cleary, the premiership winning coach, multiple, and then you've got Kieran Foran just like on a high. Going for five in a row. Stop it.
And then the Roosters versus Broncos is probably the other one that I would look out for. The Roosters are finding some form, but the Broncos, Reece Walsh is back, Paddy Carrigan. So
actually, the Bunnies Knights one will be a good one. I think all the stars are back for the Knights. Bunnies are on a high as well, so... That, I've got no doubt in Newcastle, that stadium will be packed.
And the Sharks versus Tigers will be good.
You know what? All of them have got to be good.
I wish we were going to say the same when we get to the Union, but you know, you can hear You can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. We better get some time for our good guy, Sammy, to cover some Union. Let's head over to Union right now.
Ulvanaka, Teddy Teller here, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Oh, you're good, T. You're good. Can you get the violin out for me? I feel like on my Instagram and stuff like that, I'm not this type of bloke who does that stuff, but I'm just feeling like someone needs to shout from the rooftops about rugby union. Hey, guys, we're still here. Hey, World Rugby, can you make some changes so we can stay relevant?
You are fighting the good fight for rugby union. You and Lima Sopwanga, I feel like, are the only two who are fighting for Moana Pacifica. And I said off air this morning, I am more than happy for this show that we keep advocating for the Moana until that ship sails. We just keep going
Even with all the guests and stuff. Now we're going to rugby union. We're going to ask this question about Moana. Yeah. We need to keep it alive.
We're keeping it alive because there'll always be news in league. And there's plenty of voices. You know, there's plenty of ex-players talking about the game of rugby league, and we just don't have enough covering.
Mate, you don't even need a prep. You just turn on your social media feed? Yeah, I'm going to talk about that one.
Yeah, my good man Hoz, my good friend Hoz. I'll just kind of say what he says instead of in a different language.
But anyway, here we go. Rugby Union, round 12 of Super Rugby is happening tonight. And there's only actually four rounds left of Super Rugby before semi-finals kick off. Four more rounds left until the top six enter into finals footy.
Do they have a break for the international games, though?
Yeah, there'll be finals footy for Super Rugby, small break, and then they go into test matches.
Oh, so the competition ends soon.
The competition soon, yeah, ends very soon. It's wow. Around the corner. So, yeah, that's how good we're going. No one even knows that we're getting closer to finals footy. We're talking about Vegas, which is happening next year in rugby league, but we got finals footy for Super Rugby coming up.
Okay, We're only round nine in, and we haven't even kicked off State of Origin in rugby league yet.
Ah, here we go. Anyway, well, the big game tonight. First up, we have the Hurricanes and the Crusaders. Hurricanes second on the ladder. Crusaders are fourth. So that's going to be a blockbuster game. But straight after that one, we have the Waratahs and the Western Force. Joseph Swali'i is back in the starting lineup after coming back from a hamstring injury. And Zach Lomax will be on the wing starting for the Western Force. So it's going to be a big clash. They'll be crossing paths with each other, no doubt, in that one. But it is a must-win game for the Waratahs because they are eighth at the moment. If they want to stay in touch with the top six, they got to get this one done. But we'll get over to our men playing for their future, playing for the pride of the Pacific. Moana Pacifica will take on a very, very good Auckland Blues team. Battle of Auckland. Do you remember what happened last time, T?
I remember the Blues social media after the game, something around like, this is our home, yeah, or this will always be our home.
Do you know what? And I'm so happy you brought that up. I feel like Auckland haven't done that this time around. They probably actually do feel...
Oh, a better humility.
Yeah, and empathy, and feel sorry for
Moana. Feel sorry for them.
For Moana Pacifica. So there's no social media wars.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of likes and love and care that is heading towards Moana Pacifica. So it's, yeah, I don't even know like where we keep going with Moana, but I just...
We keep going.
That's right. We do keep going, but it's going to be hard for them to get the miracle done in Auckland because I just look at the injuries that they've had. They've got Monu Moli's foot injury, Tito Tuipulotu thumb, Bola Latu head knock, Nico Jones calf, Tupou Afungia neck, Melani Matavao knee, Patrick Pellegrini head knock, so William Havili will start at 10, Ngani Laumape knee, Lalomilo calf, Devita Offa finger. They're all out injured. So that's nearly a whole starting pack for Moana out injured, and it's going to be a tough ask. But what I am keen to see is Israel Liotta. Remember the Broncos convert that I told you on Monday? You had no idea about?
Yeah, the winger.
Oh, they're the winger, so you remembered. Mate, he's up against Caleb. He's up against Caleb Clark. So I think you got two different style of athletes.
Is that the winger that jumped over?
Yeah, that one.
And scored. I've done the old AFL jump.
What do they call it? A specky.
The knee on the shoulder and
yes,
jumped
right
over.
Yeah, right up high, puts it down nicely.
It was nice.
So he'll be taking on Caleb Clark. So he's that shorter, stockier, almost like Brian Tottle lookalike.
Is he?
Yeah, he's not tall at all. You haven't seen him in real life, Caleb Clark?
I always thought he was a bit taller.
He could be taller than tallest.
No,
small.
But not the tall.
No, he's not the tall one. No. Where Israel Liotta is, so that'll be a good battle with those two. But if Moana are to break their 9-game losing streak at the moment and beat the Blues for only the second time in history, they've just got to have a defensive focus. They've got to win collisions. They've got to put pressure on the Blues breakdown. Try and slow it down and make that breakdown a dog's breakfast as much as possible and just make it scrappy.
Did you see, and I'm probably going away from the game, but did you see their social media clip of the Crocs?
I loved it.
That was cool. Just to see
they have the best social media game,
just
don't
to
they?
See them smiling and happy. I was like, oh, that's a cool clip.
Okay,
can we do more of them, please?
Do you know what else is funny about that clip? I did not see one size 7 pair of Crocs in that clip.
Yeah, they were 14 plus.
14 plus. And the extra wide one. So hopefully that gets them over the line full of confidence, full of smiles.
Just
and
a
happy.
Bit of joy.
Yeah, happiness going into this game. But where they do need to be... wary of with the Auckland Blues is the fact that they have one of the best kicking games in the game. Like, they'll kick from anywhere. Like, the crossfield kick, pass kick, they'll look for those type of opportunities no matter where they are on the field.
Bodine Barrett?
Bowden Barrett, but he's not playing this week. It is Stephen Perofeta. He's in the 10 jersey, but nonetheless, they play a style that you need to defend all parts of the field. So they need to be organised in their backfield, cover the edges, and just make sure that they're on. And then hopefully they can get some ball in the right parts of the field to score some points. Because we know Moana can score points. It's just a matter of them having the possession to be able to do so. So that's a massive game. Obviously, we're going to talk more about the Drua and the Highlanders with our man, Nemani Nondolo Kurundrani. But, T, I thought because we went long in league, I think that's enough for now. Thoughts?
Yeah, it's fine because seems like every...
I love your body language when it comes to this. You just kick him
every
back.
Every Monday, it's always... we always spend a lot of time in Union, so...
Spend a lot of time in Union?
Yeah.
When?
Who's our next two guests that we have lined up
union.
For Nation Footy?
More Union.
Or Union.
Or Union. Or Union. But before we get to NEMS to talk more Union, let's get over to Sala Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes away to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, it's time to hear from our NRLW superstar. She plays for the Tigers. She's played for the Jillaroos, Fetu Samoa, and the mighty New South Wales Blues, Sala Tongatuki. Sala, the Blues take game one last night. What were your thoughts? What a game.
Yes, sir. No, a really great game. Obviously a bit clunky in the first half, but, I had full faith that the girls they looked composed in the sheds by what was on TV. And they came out second half and they just stayed on the grind. They just needed to build pressure, and that's what they did, and they got the result out of that. So a couple of players come off the bench. I felt changed momentum for the Blues, which was Higgins and Kezzy. They did a really good job, the girls just punching through the middle, which is what we're really normally good at.
Yeah, just on that, Sala. You know, when you talk about that punch through the middle, but like both sides of the ball, really, a defense and attack. Yeah. What did you make of the collisions out there? Because I was saying to T, for me, like watching from past Origins, like it just seemed that the collisions were, they upped the ante a little bit from both sides.
100%, yeah. And I think the stats that was spoken of last night was like, it's pretty much, I think it's one of the fastest games that's played ever in a women's Origin. It just shows, like, obviously the girls, both sides had prepared really well. They looked fit, sharp out there. But, the collision, it was really good.
Did you see the differences between the NRL game and some of the rule changes and the impact that has had on the players' fatigue levels to last night's game? It just felt like it just flowed a lot better without so many infringements. And then for that reason, we got to see bigger impacts. Mm. We got to see a bit more speed around the ruck.
Oh, because they don't play the new rules.
New rules, but
they don't
do
six again. Yeah.
There you go. Okay, so, I didn't realise that.
When I say, like, everyone would probably prefer a free-flowing game. Not much cause in there. Like, I feel like Belinda had done a really good job in being fair with both sides. It's probably what allowed them to showcase more of their footy. But the halves for me, both young, they were really, like, they played really well last night. Just the kicks they were both putting on. That's something, like, I know the women's game have tried to aspire to better is the kicking. I feel like that was probably a good thing with both. Why the score had been so close and so little was because of the contest from both sides. They were contesting. They were very physical and aggressive. And, I just really loved I was just really happy that the girls and I got up, though, last night.
Were you concerned at halftime being behind at 6-0, or were you quite confident that the girls were going to come out second half and get the job done?
I wasn't concerned at all. I was so confident halftime. Like I said, they looked calm, and it was only one try, one converted try they needed. And they, I just like even just what Jesse had done. I think we can go back into one of our recording sessions where we spoke about in the training blocks, we were doing a lot of scenarios, and that was like spot on. Like last night's game was on point for it. Like Jesse tried her first, obviously, field goal, didn't go through, and then they got another shot down there. Everyone just knew their jobs, their roles, they owned that. And I seen that from the girls in the first half. It was just errors that was probably creeping in a bit, and the fatigue and that, which was getting them on the back foot. But, yeah, like I said, those players that came off the bench, they had a really good punch impact for the girls, and they got the go-forward momentum, and they were able to play the footy that we've been training to play. So,
yeah,
no, I had no concerns. I knew they were going to come back. As long as they – as soon as I seen Ellie – at the trial line, I knew, like, that's her bread and butter. She played awesome last night too. Shout out to Ellie Johnson.
Yeah, so, I felt like the Blues were knocking down that door in the second half, and eventually, as you mentioned there, they just found their way to score a try, but then seal it with the field goal, and then they finished with that last try to celebrate. Yeah. So,
how were you on that pass right at the end when you were watching it? Was it Tiana that threw the pass? No. Right at the end, it was Tiana.
She threw a long cut-out pass.
Yeah,
almost,
it was T.
Almost intercepted.
Zeh, right towards the back end. Obviously, the game was already, won, but, the miracle play. But it comes off, you know, the outcome comes off with a try. But, yeah, when you saw that, how were you feeling?
Oh, nah. I don't know. I just believe in those players, like in their ability. I hope, obviously, if it got intercepted, it got intercepted, but it didn't. And they ended up getting a try out of that. So, yeah, no, I didn't really think too much about it.
Who was
I feel so biased with talking about a lot about Blues.
Well, speaking about Queensland, who was the standout player for you?
I felt Gesa or Tessa Puller.
Scored the first try, yes.
First try, like, given obviously Mackenzie will, hopefully, I hope she's okay, but I guess, like, obviously it's her debut game and to be told, like, I need you on now from the start. Like, when you're told you're a bench player, you're going to come off the bench, you're already, the way you prep and everything, it's like, yeah, sweet, I'll time things this, that. So then when I come on, I can inject myself then. But she literally had no time. That's the beauty of it, is she got up, did her job. She was really, like, I feel like, her first game, and she was definitely, the way she played, it's like she should have been there from a long time ago. And another player for me that stood out in the Queensland, but unfortunately had to come off, was Keely Joseph. I feel like she was the glue to that pack. Like, she was chopping everyone. I'm not going against any of my Blues. Yeah, 13.
Man, she was a weapon.
Had she stayed on, come finish that game, which I know she would have, could have, she would have been MVP, no doubt. Like, she's had it, she's done it before. She's received the honours before, and I feel like she's just gone another level, and she was the glue to that pack. She ties in her efforts. Like, yeah, she's that player. I reckon she could have probably been there to stop other tries, but she wasn't there. So, yeah, it was all good. She stood out for me before she had to come off.
Well, what a way to kick off the Origin series in the women's, and the Blues taking this one. Game one, we still have two more to go, and I'm looking forward to seeing who takes out the series this year. But we do have round nine in the NRL. Same as last week, I'll run through a few games and just tell us who's going to win and why. I'm going to the Eels versus Warriors game tomorrow night. Who do you think is going to win this one and why?
Definitely the Warriors.
Up the Waz.
Up the Waz. I'm going with the Waz. They've just, I don't know, their players and that, they just look so dangerous every time they step on the park. Even like Lekker. I don't know, how the heck. Did you guys see what happened to him when he got up? Like, he's full when he contested for the ball, and he literally looked like he'd broken his ankle. And he got up. I was like,
he's a different beast,
he's
isn't
just
he?
Tough. He's a different beast, literally. Like, he's just playing. He looked like he's enjoying his footy. The Waz, like, all of them, they're just playing really good.
Oh, beautiful.
The Waz.
Roosters versus Broncos.
Oh, that's a...
It is a hard one.
It's a tough one.
Reece Walsh and Paddy Carrigan is back for the Broncos. Yep.
Big Reece is back.
And I've been
Roosters
really
have found some form as well.
Oh.
Where's it played?
All right.
Roosters.
Oh, where's it played at?
In Roosters. Sydney. Okay.
Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it.
Just go first thing. Gut feeling straight away. 3, 2, 1, go.
Broncos.
Ooh. Ooh, okay.
After, like, if I'm doing a tipping thing, I might, I'll go Broncos. Sorry, Rooster.
All right, last one, Panthers versus Eagles. So Panthers, obviously, strong favourites here. But the Seagulls, with all the confidence in the world, four wins in a row, canned Kieran Foran, and the boys make it five in a row against a strong Penrith Panthers team.
I think Manly can upset it. Yeah, I'm going to go with an upset this week.
Yep.
I feel like...
I'll keep that in mind. Yeah. I will keep that in mind.
I'll keep that in mind as well then for the back end of the show, because...
They've got the players to actually probably beat Penrith. Like, all it takes is a bit of ticker and just toughness, and they've got those players. It's a matter of how Foz, like, obviously planned.
That's all his game plan is. A bit of toughness, a bit of Tolu Kola, a bit of the middle match of the round. Perfect.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Yeah, thank you very much, Sala Tongatuki, for joining us.
No worries, this Friday, boys.
We will see you next Friday on Nijan Footy. Have a great weekend.
Later, cuz.
Stay tuned. Thank you.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurindrani.
Yes, it's time to chat all things Rugby Union with our former Flying Fijian, Nemani Nondolo Kurindrani. Ndolovina, Brass, how are you?
Ndolovina, Sammy, Ndolovina, T. I am well, I'm good, I'm healthy, and I'm blessed. So thank you for having me again.
How good is that?
Every time I come on this show, it just makes my day. So I love it.
Well, every time you're on time, it makes our day as well. So even better. How good's that? Let's rip straight in. Firstly, the draw have put out a statement. They're going through the process of finding their new coach. They've put it out to the world. I saw it on all these platforms of, like, job hire stuff.
You LinkedIn. Know
I mean? Like LinkedIn and all those type of platforms. But, mate, how's your job security going? Like, have you had those chats, more importantly?
Everyone's sort of asked me. I said, look, I don't want to bite off more than I can chew. I've got a few hats as it is, but no. Hopefully my job's all right. We find out soon, but it's going crazy here, obviously, the head coach's role, and everyone's, you know, as you know, when you're in this sort of environment, the questions are getting thrown around and rumors and whatnot. It's interesting. So, some of the names are getting thrown around in the chat. I know it's probably not true, but
Well, let's spread those rumors. Let's spread them.
Yeah. What rumors? Kind of names?
Give me a name.
Give us two names.
Oh, okay. I'll tell you some of the names. Eddie Jones is one of them.
Yeah, Eddie. He's locked into Razor. Japan.
Razor's a good one.
Razor is a great one.
And then the other one was Tana Umaga, but Tana's with the AB. So
they're great rumors. They are great rumors.
Yeah, that's a show. You've got to take some things with a grain of salt here, mate.
Eddie's locked into Japan until the end of the World Cup next year, exactly. So you rule that one out. Oh, Razor could be a smoky because he can't coach international footy. That's in his contract for another year, so he could be available.
What about Michael Checker?
There's your chance.
Throw that name in there.
Okay.
I reckon Checker would go good. You know, he's that hard-nosed, no-nonsense coach.
Understands culture,
obviously from a Lebanese background, and is that, you know, brings that us-against-the-world mentality, which,
Nems has just put name in the chat.
Chuck that in there. WhatsApp group.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go after this conversation when we have lunch. Hey, Chuck's name's been thrown in. All right, I'm out.
He could be available. Nah, good signs ahead then. Hopefully we see the right candidate for the draw, because they are an amazing team. And obviously you've got all the fans there in Fiji getting behind the side. But let's get into the side now. They are taking on the Highlanders in Bar this weekend. You know, obviously not the game they wanted in Super Round, but how are the boys feeling?
No, good. I think, look, when we go back and look at the stats and what we did, I thought we did really well. Obviously, there's just some lapse in judgment and concentration there, which sort of, you know, a team against the Chiefs, they're going to punish her, and they did towards the back end of the first half and then obviously the second half. So, but, you know, I think we're growing momentum. I think there's a lot of positives to take out of that game coming from the Brumbies. Now here, now we've got a great opportunity this week. We're going to play in Bar, which is a very hostile, you know, place to go play. It's actually, you know, players are on the bus for an hour and a half. So, you know, it is a long day. But, you know, on the flip side, Highlanders is one of the only two teams that Drua have not beaten. Everyone else have beaten but two. So there's a fun fact. So they'll be definitely out to create a bit of history. But, look, I think the boys are up. You know, we've got the bye next week. So everyone's, you know, short turnaround, played Sunday against the Chiefs, and then, you know, the boys have been in, and they've trained really well. And also, at the moment, they're having their captain's run as we speak. So, yeah, it's good seeing Frank Lomani on the wing. You've got to have him in your team.
Yeah, to talk us through that one. Why are we seeing probably your best halfback, the national halfback?
Yeah.
I know he can play wing, but why have you put him there?
Look, just the energy he brings. You know, he's one guy in your team you want in your team. You know what I mean? And I guess with the three, we've got obviously four international halfbacks. You know, and I just think with the way the coaches have gone, just what he brings to the table, he work rate is mess. I'm not saying the other wingers aren't. And, you know, as wingers, you'd be disappointed that you've got there. But I think to have Frank in your team anywhere, and we've seen that he's come on and played wing, he's finished the game at wing. And I've just seeing him train this week at wing, he's just everywhere. And I just think he's going to, you know, obviously one of the captains, he brings his leadership. So, you know, and he can, the good thing about it, he's going to cover nine as well. So we've got to be, you know, we've got a few injuries and a few niggles in our side, particularly in the back three. And he's someone that can come in and slot in. And he's played there before for the Rebels. He's played for Northampton.
He's definitely capable. He's a freak of an athlete. I've got no doubt he can handle it. But obviously it's a big one to start there. Finally, our man T over here really wanted to ask this question before, and I was keen as well. How's our man Drua Sese going? He's been copping it lately, but I just want to make sure that he's all right, you know, from that kick in the when he tried to exit. But obviously, we've all had howlers. We've all had howlers.
Yeah. So, the grubber from the eagle.
The grubber, I just want to show I want to show him some love because, mate, he's been copping it, but how's he doing?
No, he's doing well. You're right. Like, it's just, you know, rugby's massive here, but he's been copping a lot, and you feel for him. And the boys, we haven't spoken about it, to be fair. Okay, we have not spoken about what happened. We haven't brought it up. He took a day off and, you know, did what he needs to do, trained this morning, and the boys just around him. And that's a good thing about us. He's like, you know, not only him, but, you know, the team, when the team wins, everyone loves us. When the team loses, you know, your worst enemy number one. So, no, Drusess has been Ilya has been really good. You know, like I said, he's spent some time away, and the best thing about it is we're just there for him. But you know, he picked up the came into training today, trained with the non 23 or whatever they call him, and put in a good session. You know, the good thing about Ilya is that he's resilient in that. You know, the poor fellas, you know, they've shown him there've been some harsh things said about him, and he just keeps turning up. And it sort of breaks your heart in a way because people don't understand. You know, he's only human at the end of the day, right? And
yeah, I'm with you. That's what I wanted to bring up, to make sure that we show him some love. Because as I said, man.
Nah, he's good, man.
I've had some howlers in my time, so I copped it. He's probably had more than me, definitely, his league time. So.
Oh, I was more safety, man. I play percentage plays. Nothing out of the box. That's why you last longer that way.
Yeah, that's very true. I wish I could have my time again. But and then obviously, Jamie Joseph, last one here. Can you ask him a question for me when you do the commentary? Are you interviewing Jamie? Yeah, just go, mate. Sammy Watch says hello. Ask him if we're friends and still, man, because I love Jamie as
What was the question?
No good to me. You're no good to me.
Yeah, say, ask Jamie Joseph. Say, Sammy asked if he's still no good to
him. He says he's still no good to you.
I'll go one better and I'll take a selfie and I'll send it.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
I'll bring it up next week on our next show.
Yeah.
And I'll show it.
Oh, no, can you do one better? Can you just do a little voice record for me? And you can't bill us for it, but like, can you just do this favor?
Yeah, ask him. Say, can you tell Sammy
You're still no good to me. You're no good to me. Can you please do that?
That's your side quest for this weekend.
Right, I'll do that from the goodness of my heart, boys.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate it. Well, Nems, hopefully the draw get the win in bar and we get to check in with you again next week, brother. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, boys. And stop saying hopefully. We're going to win, mate.
Oh, yeah, sweet. And when after the draw win, we'll check in next week.
See you, boys.
All right, brother. Take care.
Take it easy.
Spoke. You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Smoke.
Do you know what we need to add to that? Is Chris Tucker on Friday. We go, Smokey!
I love the drums.
Yeah, the drums are good in the background. Whoever came up with it.
Who made that? Phil. Producer Phil.
But anyway, Lock and Smoke. And after last week, when we went a bit rogue with our tips, which was I thought was good, you've come up trumps here too. You got all three right.
Yep. And if you're
3-0.
If you are new to the show, this is where we on Nesian Footy, this is where we do our lock in smoke. We lock in someone who we think is going to win, and then our smokey is someone who is the least favourite. Last week we've done something different.
All the New Zealand teams in Super Round.
Super Round, so all the rugby union games played at one. I went all the New Zealand teams for 2 points and every New Zealand team won.
The only close one there was the Reds.
The Reds.
They went into Super Point, which is the equivalent of Golden Point. And no good.
So I got 2 points for that one. Good. And then I also went the Roosters for my lock-in, and you went Dragons. So I got another point. So I got three.
What was that, 60 points?
60 points to 15, yeah, something like that. But
We go again. I feel like I'm Moana Pacifica, and you are the PNG Chiefs at the moment. So
who are you going for your lock-in?
Lock. I am going. Oh man, this is a big one. This is a big one. I'm going to go the Panthers over the Seagulls as my lock.
You better lock it up. No, you lock it up.
There it is.
Panthers over the Seagulls. Because
there's no sure things in rugby league here, but I just feel like the run for Kieran Foran, it's got to come to an end, and I think it's coming this weekend.
Here's my lock in. And this is going to be a tight one.
I'm going
the Cowboys.
Oh, I thought you were going to go Union.
Versus Dogs very shortly. I just think Cowboys are in form. The Dogs are struggling. So, Cowboys, you'll be my lock-in.
Donny Singe effect? Has that helped you?
It's also, I think, there's a milestone for Jason Taumalolo.
And he's
coming up to his 300th game.
Oh, perfect. How good's that? All right, so there are our locks, our smoke. Smokes. I'm going to go the Western Force, actually, to take on to beat the Tars. That's my smoky.
The Western Force to beat the Tars?
Yeah, Western Force is second last.
All right, I'm going to go the draw to beat the Highlanders.
Smoke! I don't know if that's a smoke.
What? Why? That's
because it's in Fiji, it's in Bar, and the Highlanders aren't going great at all.
So why didn't you go the draw to lock in then?
Because I wasn't sure. But that's not a lock. Smoke.
All right, I'll go.
Crusaders could be a smoke against the Canes.
Oh, the Tigers are smoky against the Sharkies.
Oh, that's a pretty even battle.
Or the Roosters are smoky against the Broncos. Who'd you go? Panthers and East Eagles? You went the Panthers lock-in? Yeah. I'll go the Manly Seagulls then.
Oh, what do we call that again? Is that a smoker?
Smoko.
Yeah, that's
smoko.
A smoker.
Okay. I'm going the Seagulls.
Okay.
Seagulls to beat. I just think Homwale might just change it up. It's going to be very hard, but they're on a confidence. Well, they're very confident.
At least one of us will be getting a point out of that one.
Yep.
Here we go. But T, what an episode.
That's us done.
Yep. Footy Friday done.
Tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Nesian Footy wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you on Monday. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.